Father, I lift this time ahead of us to you. I pray that you would speak through me, that this would be your message, not mine. Amen. Amen. Take a seat. Hello. If we haven't met, my name is Stephen. I'm lay pioneer for the Ely team, which means that I do lots of the fresh, expression-y type of church. So I don't often get to touch on Leviticus or a passage that seems about judgment. We don't often do those in craft sessions and things. I don't quite know how we'd make eternal punishment out of craft. But here we are, and what a pleasure it is. I've recently been learning about church history. And in that, I learnt that around about here, in some churches, there was a rude screen, which I was quite disappointed to find out there is nothing at all inappropriate about. What I did find out was that the point of the rude screen was to separate this area up here from this area down here. People like Natalie, priests, up here, riffraff like us down here. That was how it worked. That was the division. Thankfully, many churches have now taken them down. Does anyone know if St. Mary's had one at any point? No. John's shaking his head, so probably not. But the point of them was that us riffraff down here, apart from Marion and Chris and any other vicars in the room, you're allowed up there, we weren't allowed to see what was going on up there because it was holy. It was really special. And us riffraff, I don't know what they thought would happen. Maybe like our eyeballs would drop out or something, or we'd just be so staggered we'd fall to the ground. But we weren't allowed to see up there. And I feel like a bit of that comes from some of these previous texts in Leviticus that we've been looking at. But the very start of chapter 19, it says that this chapter is for everyone, that Moses was to bring these words to the whole assembly of Israel. Which unfortunately means for us that we have to listen to these coming words. I know. If it was just about Nat and Chris and Marin, we could all go home and I'd just give them a little chat too. But unfortunately, this is for all of us. And these words for all of us is a call to be holy. It says it up there, "Be holy for I am holy," which is very lovely. And I'd often associated holiness with those kind of holier-than-thou people who are a bit like, yes, I've already brought 20 people to Christ this morning. Yes, I'm reading the Bible for the 19th time all the way through. When am I not praying? I'm praying right now, you just can't see me. And I'm like, oh, you're so holy. I'm in awe to be in your presence. I will never be as great and as holy as you. I don't worship them, obviously. That would be bad. But that's kind of what I thought holiness was. That it was something I would never get to because I don't know if I have time to always be praying. I mean, sometimes I need to be doing things. And I don't think I've brought 20 people to Christ in my life, let alone this morning. That would be pretty impressive at 9:23 or something to have already bought 20. Has anyone? Anyone? No. Okay. But maybe we're overcomplicating, or maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just overcomplicating what holiness is. I was recently asked at our Puzzling Questions course in Costa, why does God have a personality change between the Old Testament and the New Testament? And I thought, oh, that's a good question. And I didn't really have an answer at the time, but now I do, and I'm going to find that man and tell him. I don't think he does. I think we're just reading the wrong bits of the Old Testament, because right in the center of this book, which I often thought was just about laws and just about all things we shouldn't do, there's this phrase which I'd always thought Jesus came up with, about loving our neighbor like we love ourselves. I thought that was, you know, Jesus, AD 30, I don't know. But apparently not. Apparently that was in action way before Jesus. And then I read that, now, don't quote me on this, you can quote Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, that the word Leviticus in the Hebrew form means a summon to or a call to. And Rabbi Sacks adds to that that he thinks it's a call to love. That's what he thinks Leviticus is. That in every single one of these laws and in every single chapter, he thinks that underpinning it all is a call to be people who love. And I think that's pretty awesome. And so what if that is the simplicity behind being holy? That what if being holy for I am holy means looking at what Jesus did and doing the same? But it's not just about the actions. These actions have to come, I think, from somewhere. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Ezekiel, where it talks about our stony, like rock heart, being replaced for this heart of flesh. And I love that. And I think that that is what happens when we invite Jesus into our life. When we say, actually, God, I know you love me, and I am accepting your love. I think that's what happens. The stony heart we might have beforehand starts to soften and starts to become flesh. And I want to carry that heart metaphor into Mark 7, where it talks about what's in our heart, and the Message version uses this term, vomits out of us. See, whatever is in our heart gets pumped round our whole body, if you know biology, like I do, A-level, just saying. So whatever is in our heart, if it's bitterness, if it's unforgiveness, if it's impatience, gets pumped around our whole body, I think, and becomes who we are. And it vomits out of us, it spills out of us, and informs our actions. But if in our heart is kindness, patience, gentleness, love, and that gets pumped around our whole body, it's quite a different set of actions that come out of us. And so I think what it is to be holy, maybe, to let God in our heart rule. To look to Jesus as an example. And to let the Spirit transform us in those moments when we have an option to act in love. And then we hear it again, I think, in this passage about the sheep and the goats. I know which group I'd rather be in. Let's be honest. I don't want to be a goat. And God, as the judge, sees all things. He sees our heart. He sees the motivation behind our actions. And we have to make a choice to do those things. I'd add to the list of feeding and hungry. Yesterday, I was in Waitrose, and there was a lady being really unkindly rude to a busy, stressed shop assistant. So I just tried to smile and kind of wait patiently and just kind of say, and she was, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's all right. I'm not in a rush. I think that's the kind of thing that Jesus would have done after some lady was just so rude to this woman. I'd add to it maybe taking food round to a family that have just had a baby, or spontaneous flowers to someone who's grieving. Those, I think, are holy actions in our world today. When I think of holiness, I like to quote Mother Teresa. She said that not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. Our actions don't have to be big. Our holiness doesn't have to be, I led 20,000 people to Christ before breakfast. Our holiness could be, before breakfast, I rang someone who I knew was having a bad week. Our holiness could be, I knew that person's just come out of hospital, so I popped them in some bread and milk because I didn't think they'd get out to the shops. One of my holiness inspirations was always Heather, who many of us said goodbye to on Monday, a lady who I think just lived this out. It was so clear, her love of God, by the way it spilled out of her in her actions. I don't know if any of you know that today just so happens to be the 20th anniversary of a horrific shooting in Dunblane. I watched a documentary about it yesterday and wept, I'm unashamed to say, because I found it horrifying. But looking for some beauty in what happened, I stumbled across the Dunblane Memorial stained glass window that was put into a church in Dunblane. And it's three panels. And the first panel is purple and dark blue. And then slowly, it transitions into greens in the second panel. And the final panel is full of yellows. It's golden. And the artist talks about how it represents how the people of Dunblane would not let darkness conquer the light. And in it are doves, a dove to symbolize everybody who lost their life that day. And the dove is meant to be the Holy Spirit transforming the city of Dunblane. Because for I think to live out this commandment of loving our neighbor like we love ourselves is to live out God's love as his light in the darkness. And I know that you can all go home and just say that all the preacher said today was to love other people. And I said this to the 10:30 congregation last week, so now you've got the challenge too. You can go home and say that. Heard it before? But I think if each one of us took up this radical notion to be holy, to let our heart rule our actions, the world out there would look like a very different place, wouldn't it? What if each one of us knew that we were loved by God and we let that inform what we do, that we'd seen the way Jesus lived, how he stood beside those who needed help, and then we were open to the Holy Spirit in those moments, prompting us to just pick up an extra bar of chocolate and to drop it into our neighbor on our way back. Because that's the kind of holiness that I think the Bible talks about. And that's what I long to see for our city of Ely, that God's light and God's love would break out. And I think it's only going to happen if holy people like us aren't holier than thou, with noses upturned, but they're down there in the dirt with those who need our love and care. It doesn't have to be big things, it's small things. Let's finish by praying. Father, I bring to you the words of Piglet. When he asked, "How do you spell love?" And Pooh replied, "You don't spell it, you feel it." Father, help each one of us to have our hearts transformed by you, and to then let that transform our actions. We long for Ely, this place where we live, to feel your love by your holy people. In your name, amen.